God, because God is not surprised. He knows what's going on. And there is no surprise for Him, because I know God is going to keep His hand upon us. He's going to keep His hand upon all of us and know that He is with us every step of the way. And so today, if you have your Bibles, we wasn't able to get into God's Word in the book of Exodus last week because we had a guest speaker here for Pastor Appreciation. And so I kind of want to get back into this a little bit. We have been into Slavery to Freedom series sermon number 8 today. And so we want to look here. I've got a few more in the series, and I will be ending out, and I'll be moving on to some other things. But we want to continue on Slavery to Freedom series sermon 8. And the title of my message today is called Feeding on the Lamb. Feeding on the Lamb. And we're going to go now into Exodus, the 12th chapter, beginning with the 8th verse. In Exodus, the 12th chapter, we're in the Old Testament. So you have Genesis, then you have Leviticus, then you got, or Genesis, Exodus, and then Leviticus. Excuse me. So we're going into the second book of the Bible, Exodus 12 and 8. And let's look at this as time will permit. Feeding on the Lamb. Verse 8, then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roast in fire with unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boil it with water, but roast it in fire, and head and with its legs and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning. And what remains of it until morning, you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. I want you to know today, as we look at this a little bit, we see that God's people is moving out of Egypt and they're heading to the land of promise. And God has instructed Moses and Aaron to lead God's people out from bondage and to get them in an area where that God would find a blessing that will be placed upon them, that they would worship Jehovah God, and that everything had to be in order. God is talking about how that they were to bring a sacrifice before the Lord and how that it needed to be processed. And God had laid that out step by step as He began to walk with them and as He was with them through this. And we know that the Bible says it was fire by night, cloud by day, how that God would lead them into the promised land and how that everything was to take place and that the Passover would be the Lord's Passover. In other words, they would remember to know that God was with them, as we talked about how that the death angel would go over them if the blood was applied upon the doorpost, and how that the angel, the death angel, would come and not hinder them nor take the firstborn because the blood had been applied upon their home. And I want you to know today that we're looking at this clearly, as slaves have made freed by the blood of the Lamb. They had been in slavery with 430 years, but this day was going to be the day that they would be set free by the blood of the Lamb. And the firstborn of Egypt, as we know, died that night. And the firstborn of Israel spared by the sprinkled of the blood that was applied on the doorpost. F.B. Myers writes that they not only rested on the blood thus sprinkled, but it also on the distinct promise of God, and all under the blood were safe. And I want you to know today, when the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is applied to your heart and life, and you say, "Pastor, what do you mean by this?" I mean, when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you make the profession of faith, you have received the blood of the Lamb. In other words, you have received Jesus Christ because He is the author, the finisher of our faith. And that because of Him dying on the cross, the ultimate sacrifice was paid for you and I, and the blood was shed upon Calvary's cross that you and I may have life and have it more abundantly. I want you to know today that these delivered ones were also to eat on the Lamb. My first point today is this: they were to feed on the Lamb for strength. They were to feed on the Lamb for strength. In other words, God knew that they were human. God knew that they needed nourishment. God knew that they needed physical strength to make this journey, because this journey was going to be long. And so that's why He wanted them to prepare the Lamb to be eat, to be able to be strengthened. And so they were to eat the flesh that night. And there was a way that God had said that the meat of the Lamb was to give them the strength to make that journey. I don't know about you, but I can't go far or long without getting nourishment. You know, they say that you may can live a few days without food, but you hardly could ever make it much a long period of time without water. Because 85% of your body is made up of water, and we need water and we need food for nourishment. But they needed strength because physically they were going to go on a long journey. We see that there were many difficulties that was going to be ahead. And they would be stressful nights that they would have to walk, and yet they would need strength for the journey. We feed on the Lamb by taking in God's Word. So when we look at it physically, now we're looking at it spiritually, that we need the Word of God to feed on, because we must feed on the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our strength. He is our victor. We have victory in Christ Jesus, and we have victory in this world because we know that Jesus Christ will strengthen us, and our strength comes through Him. In our weaknesses, Christ becomes strong in you. When you feel like that you're insignificant, when you feel like that you're just not worthy, when you feel like that you just don't have anything to offer, I want you to know, when you offer up unto the Lord Jesus Christ, saying, "Lord, take everything that I am, everything that I hope to be, everything that I desire, Lord, let it be Your desire, Lord." In other words, you're surrendering all and saying, "God, take charge of my life." I promise you, God will give you the strength that you need day by day. I want you to know today, we are to feed on the Lord Jesus Christ by His Word and in His Word. Philippians 4 and 13, the Apostle Paul writes, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." You can do all things in Christ. And it's nothing that you do, it's nothing that I do, but it's what Jesus Christ that's in us that does for us, because He's the one that carries you day by day. You may think in your mind that you're taking care of everything. You may be dotting all your I's, crossing all your T's, saying, I'm providing for my family, I'm working on a job, I have a house, I have clothes, I have food. Well, I want you to know today, God is the one that brings the strength to you to help you to have what you have, to be what you're to be, and to go where you're to go. It's because the Lord Jesus Christ allows that, and He grants that in your life day by day. I want you to know today that God says we can do all things in Christ. My second point today, not only they were to feed on the Lamb for strength, but they were to feed on the Lamb for spiritual depth. They were to feed on the Lamb for spiritual depth. They did not know anything about God until God spoke. They did not know anything about how God is and the goodness of God and what God was going to do for them unless they heard from Moses, unless they heard from Aaron, unless they heard from God. They did not know, because they had stepped out in faith. They were going in a territory that they'd never had been in their life. They were in captivity for 430 years. In other words, generation after generation had died in Egypt. And yet this generation, after 430 years, now was moving out and was walking in faith, and they were walking and trusting because they didn't know what lied ahead. They did not know what was ahead of them. Today, you and I do not know what tomorrow will bring. We don't know what lies ahead. We don't know what next year is going to bring. But what I do know today is God is going to bring His grace, He's going to bring His mercy, He's going to bring His strength, and He's going to take care of us as we fully surrender to His authority. I want you to know today that there's many lessons that are connected with this meal that God had prescribed unto them for them to take. The lamb was to be roasted with fire. Fire speaks of judgment. All of Egypt was under judgment that night because God's hand was going to move. Pharaoh kept dangling, so to speak, the carrot in front of his people. Well, you can go serve your God a little bit, but come right back, because I'm over you. You're my slaves. You can step out a little bit, but I want you to come back. And plague after plague after plague, Pharaoh began to see things falling apart around his castle, his kingdom. And Moses says, I told you, Pharaoh, God says, let His people go. And yet Pharaoh did not want to let God's people go, but this night he had no choice, because God was going to place judgment on Egypt. Listen, Israel's judgment had fallen on the lambs. Christ, our Lamb, has bore our judgment on the cross. That's how you and I today can accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. How that we can come boldly before His throne, that we may obtain grace. And the reason why we can do that is because God the Father sent His Son to give the ultimate sacrifice for you and I. So He made a ransom so that you and I may have life and have it more abundantly. And to know that you and I do not have to offer blood sacrifices. We do not have to go before the Lord through blood sacrifices, but we can go through the Lord Jesus Christ. We can go straight to the cross. We can go straight to the throne. We can go straight to Jesus and know that Jesus, He's there for us to take care of us, to protect us, and to know that He knows best, because He's Abba Father. He is Daddy, and He loves you and I today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. I want you to know today that the Apostle Paul writes, and he says in 1 Corinthians 5:7, he says, therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ is now our Passover. He is the Passover lamb for you and I, and was sacrificed for us. When we look at leaven, the word leaven, we see leaven is a substance used to produce fermentation in dough and to make it rise as yeast. Unleaven is dough without a substance that makes it rise. The Israelites had eaten unleavened bread because of their hasty departure from Egypt. And the practice of this first Passover was continued in all future of observance of the Passover. And at the beginning of the Passover season, every year, all leaven was expelled from the house and was kept from the house for 7 days. And these days called the days of unleavened bread. And it commemorated the eating of the unleavened bread at the time of departure from Egypt. What are you saying, Pastor? What I'm saying is God wanted to remind them to let them know that unleavened was to move quickly, not to have time to mend the dough, not have time to make it all this and that and make it all fancy, but with unleavened it was to be baked and to eat quickly, to move out, because God's hand was about to move upon His people. And I want you to know today that God's hand is upon His people, and He's going to move out for His people. Don't look to the left, don't look to the right, but to know that Jesus Christ has got your back, and He's going to take care of you, and He's going to bring you through the things that you're dealing with, and He's going to help you every step of the way. I want you to know today that God clearly lets us know that leaven in the Bible speaks of evil. All evil must be put away from them as we see this. It speaks of our sinless Savior. The meal contained bitter herbs. It reminds them of the bitterness of bondage. It reminds us of the suffering of Christ. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden it with water. The lamb must feel the heat. Speaks of God's wrath, as Christ has taken the heat for you. He has taken the heat for us. Everything was orchestrated out by God, saying that this will be a remembrance. You will remember this. In other words, God says, do not forget. Know of the herbs, the bitterness. Know of the unleavened bread. Know what I'm doing, that each one is representing that you are to never forget the Passover. And today, folks, I want you to know today that it is not for us to forget the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not to forget His crucifixion. We are not to forget the sacrifice that He paid. It is to remind us that we are to look to the cross. We are to come to the foot of the cross, no matter what we're going through. It is not for us to go to social media. It's not for us to go to our brothers and sisters and everything else. It's for us to go to the Lord in prayer. Take it to the Lord in prayer and know that the Lord will give you the answer when you need the answer. Not so much of when you want it then, but God will answer. And when He answers, you will know that it's from God Almighty. Listen, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this. The Apostle Paul writes, for He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Listen, for He made Him who knew no sin. God said to His Son, you are to die. Who knew no sin to be sin to be placed on the cross. Your sins, my sins, his and all our iniquity was placed on the cross. It was placed on the cross over 2,000 years ago that we might become the righteousness of God in Him through the Lord Jesus Christ. You become righteous. I become righteous, not within myself, not within yourself, but you become righteous in Christ Jesus. Because of Jesus and what He's done, you now, I now, are righteous through the Lord Jesus Christ. This message must not be watered down. Let nothing remain. In other words, God said it is going to be a finished sacrifice. My third point today is this, in closing. They were to feed on the Lamb for service. They were to feed on the Lamb for service. Exodus 12 and 11. The Bible says, "And thus you shall eat it with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." Pastor, what are you saying? What I'm saying is God wants you and I to be prepared. God wants us to be right. He wants us to be ready for His return. He's coming back, folks. He's coming back to earth again. He is going to split the eastern skies one day. Not even the angels in heaven. No one knows when the coming of the Lord will come. But I will say it and will say it again. There will be people that will die a death, but the Bible says it's got to be fulfilled that there will be some that will be alive. And we will see the coming of the Lord. And the Bible says those that are dead will, guess what, resurrect first. And those that remain will be called up in the Lord, with the Lord, in the air. Amen. So those that have gone before, my sister that has gone before, others have gone before, we will have, if we remain alive, we will have to wait because the grave will have to burst forth open for them. And while they're going up, then we will be called up with them as they are ahead of us. That's the coming of the Lord. And that's what the Lord has promised. He has told us time and time again, be of good cheer. He says, I've overcome the world. And He says, if I've overcome the world, you can overcome the world. He said, I've gone through temptation, you can go through temptation. I've gone through tests and trials, you can go through tests and trials. Yet the world will hate you, but the world hated me. But He says, be of good courage. I have overcome the world, and you can overcome the world as well. Folks, we must continue to serve the Lord. The Bible says clearly how they were to eat this meal. With their loins girded, ready to go where the Lord would lead them. With their shoes on their feet, no delays when the call came to move. With the staff in their hand, they would be strangers on the way. But yet we must also obey our marching orders. Our marching orders is to continue to fight the good fight of faith. Matthew 28 and 18 says, And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, red letter edition, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen and amen. God is with us, folks. He is not through with us yet. Some have gone before. They have already paved the way. My sister had paved the way. She had worked for the Lord. She had ministered unto the Lord. How that she sung unto the Lord, played unto the Lord. But her time was over. It's over. And now she's rejoicing with the angels in heaven. She's singing with the angels in heaven. She's playing on that golden piano up there. They're playing the harps and they're worshiping their Lord and their Savior. And while they're doing that up there, it's for us to continue on to worship the Lord here, because one day we will see them. We will see them. We will see them. And here is the encouraging words that Jesus tells us. That when we see Him, Jesus Christ, He says we will be like Him. And that's hard for us to understand in our small little mute mind that we have. But Jesus said it. He said it and clearly lets us know that when we see Jesus, and I believe my sister and I believe others have seen Jesus, and when we see Him, the Bible says, we will be like Him. Oh, what a promise, folks. What a living hope that we have today. Listen, there are lands to conquer. There are still lands to conquer. There are people to reach. We have loved ones that need to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We have families. We have friends that need to know. They need to be reached. Listen, are you feeding on the Lamb today? If not, if you're not feeding on Him, you're going to be weak. Start feeding on Jesus Christ. Will be adequate enough for the most difficult journeys. Christ will be adequate enough for the most difficult journeys. He will be with you. Why? Because He is for you. He will be with you and He will be for you. I thank God today that we have a merciful God. None of us, including this pastor today, is worthy to step before the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not worthy. I'm not even worthy to step before His throne. And the only way that I can come boldly before the throne of God, the only way that you can come boldly before the throne of God, is through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's how we can see the Father. That's how you can see God, is through His Son, Jesus Christ. God couldn't even look upon sin. He couldn't even look upon His Son on the cross because all the sin was placed on Him. The Bible says that God turned His face from His Son because He couldn't look. And He cried out, as we all cried out. He said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? And yet God could not look because everything was placed upon the cross. But thanks be to the Lamb of God, He stayed on the cross. He could have come off. He could have called 10,000 angels to take Him off the cross. But He bled. He died for you and I so that we can be free. That we can see our families free. That we can see our loved ones free. That we can see our friends free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Stand with me across the building today. Oh, what a mighty God we serve today. What a mighty God we serve today.